This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. First, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out. Subscribe there to all the video content, shows on WIP, clips from shows, and of course, all our podcasts, including Clap Your Hands. And a big night for those guys last night. It's Joel Embiid. After a lot of, you know, just, I don't know if it's misinformation or just questioning the information we had, Joel Embiid played last night. It was like, wait a second. He was going to play on Tuesday against the Thunder. Then he was listed as out. Then he was moved to questionable, not a shoot around yesterday. But all of a sudden, he's out there and playing and back, and it was great to see him again. I mean, like the Sixers, and I went to the game last week at the Clippers here, where the ref screwed him at the end. But they were a tough watch without Joel Embiid, and you wanted to kind of see, okay, how would this team flow with Kyle Lowry as the addition of the trade deadline, along with Joel Embiid? Obviously, what you have with Tyrese Maxey, could it unlock a little bit more out of Tobias Harris, who's been dreadful for so much of this season? And what's interesting now is the Sixers feel like a total wild card in the playoff picture. Am I expecting a parade down Broad Street? I'm not. But I'm not going into the postseason with a sense of dread or the sense of I know when the expiration date is, like I have in other years with Joel Embiid and the Sixers in terms of the postseason. And there's something to this team this year when Joel has been on the court that you look at their point differential. Let me make a point of some of that being the teams they played, and they had an early season schedule. They got off to a nice start, great point differential. Joel's put up 70 points. They put a lot of bad teams. You say, all right, they're probably not that good. Now, what makes this a wild card and what makes them so interesting down the stretch here is they, you know, Joel missed a lot of the games against the best teams. He didn't go on that West Coast swing. They didn't play all of the best teams in the league with Joel Embiid. The schedule, unfortunately for them, got really difficult when Embiid got hurt. So we didn't get a chance to see them against the Bucks with Joel Embiid. We didn't get a chance to see them with Joel Embiid on that West Coast trip. So on one hand, you could say, well, they probably would have lost to those teams. But you could say maybe they would have beat them. And last night with Joel, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have been pillar to post, one of the best teams in the NBA. And I thought Joel Embiid last night looked better than I would have anticipated. Now, he wasn't great. You could tell late in the game he was gassed. I was surprised he played as many minutes as he did. Before the game, Nick Nurse said, not going to be 0 to 100. And it was kind of 0 to 90, 0 to 85 in terms of minutes. I mean, obviously scaling, but he played about 29, 30 minutes. What's he usually going to play? 36, 37, 38 in a big game, 40 in a big game. So he played a lot of minutes last night, despite not playing a game, and you know, you would think having that kind of stamina. And I thought for the most part did a good job, even bringing the ball up a lot on offense. I was surprised by that. So, you know, they didn't just drop him into the shallow end of the pool. They said, let's go play. And what's different about this particular injury versus setback versus, you know, time missed compared to other years is he had surgery. In theory, if the rehab was done correctly and he was given enough time to come back properly, he should be good. Like, that's the one thing that people brought up before this you know, when the injury happened and we knew that he may need surgery, then maybe it's for the best. Then maybe this will get him back and better. Now, this doesn't prevent another injury 2 weeks from now, him falling and hurting something else. That's the life with Joel Embiid. But as far as the injury he had, it should be healed now. You know, we shouldn't have to worry about that now. And I thought he moved pretty well last night, laterally. I thought he moved up and down the court pretty well. Now, you could tell he's a little puffier, but that's, I mean, and we know that. That's every time he doesn't play regularly, he gets out of shape. But I didn't think it was egregious, and I didn't think it was a big detriment. Now, his shooting, I thought his legs went a little bit late. The free throw shooting is always there, which is always excellent with Joel Embiid. But I thought his jump shooting last night, just not as silky smooth as it has been earlier in this season. You could tell his legs weren't under him. But overall, that was a very encouraging return by Joel Embiid. And to win that game against a team fighting for the top spot in the West, it's encouraging. And now you look at the landscape of the NBA postseason, and I think the Sixers with Joel are a total wild card in this. Now, they play Miami tomorrow night. That is a huge game. They're a game and a half back of Miami for the 7. Now, that will probably set up who is going to be the 7 and get home court in the play-in game. But the Sixers also, if they play really well, down the stretch of the season, could try to avoid the 6, try to avoid the 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, play-in thing altogether. Now, that would be, that might be a game changer because, you know, if you get me to the Cavs or the Knicks in the first round, I could paint the picture that the Sixers could get through that series with Joel Embiid. In fact, I think the Sixers would get through those series without Joel Embiid. The Knicks have been a scrappy team all year, a good team, but they've got a lot of injury issues. They're just not whole. And if they don't have OG Anunoby, I don't think they're going to be able to beat the Sixers. And the Cavaliers are a nice team, but I will take the Sixers over them in a 7-game series because of Nick Nurse and because of Joel Embiid. So that would be, you know, register, I guess, as an upset. We'd see what the sports book said it as. I think it'd be pretty close to even if the Sixers played the Cavaliers in the first round. I think they might actually be favored over the Knicks in the first round without OG and with injuries to the Knicks. But it's almost like, what do you view the Sixers as? Maybe without expectations, maybe coming from a 7 seed or a 6 seed, they can go on a little run here. I don't think that is out of the realm of possibility. Would Joel Embiid back if he plays as well as he can? Now, spot seeding, it's all going to make a big difference. And it's why last night could ultimately make a big difference. It's why Thursday could. Number one, first and foremost for me, is that if the Sixers can avoid the play-in, they really have an opportunity to set themselves up with a favorable first-round matchup and then get Milwaukee or a Miami in the second round before having to face Boston. The longer they can avoid Boston, the better. Boston is the best team in the league. I know people keep pointing back to Denver. They won it last year. Jokic is the most unstoppable player right now. But just as a team, starting 5, nobody's as good as Boston night to night. I mean, they have just been brilliant this season and probably learned from what happened last year in the Eastern Conference Finals loss to Miami. So Boston is the standard bearer in the East. I want to avoid them as much as possible. Now,
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I heard yesterday Spike Eskimen an argument on the morning show when he called into the Cameron that maybe the play-in isn't the worst idea in the world for the Sixers. Kind of use it as a springboard like the Phillies did a couple years ago with the wild card round against the Cardinals. And I get the logic, but with a play-in, there is a detriment to it. Number one, you got to get through it. I think the Sixers would either be the 7 or the 8. I think they'd get into the playoffs through the play-in. I think they'd find their way, even if it was a loss to Miami and a win over the Bulls. But you know, one bad night in the play-in, you are then, your best you could do is have to play the Celtics in the first round. And I want no part of that. And I think Joel Embiid's going to need some time here. Let's ease into this thing. I think Joel's going to need, let's say, a month to get back to his best basketball. If he can do it in the postseason, and maybe this is the year it happens. But the basketball we saw in December and January, that basketball, I think he's going to need a month to get into that, to round into that form. And if you're in the 8 spot, You don't have a month. You have a couple weeks here, and boom, you're into this thing. And pretty quickly, you could be down 0-2 and just feel like it's you're swimming up, you know, upstream. It'd be a lot. Now, would the 7 be the worst thing in the world? No. You get to go play the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers. I mean, that'd be a fun series. And a Bucks team that really has looked, you know, half dead half the year. I mean, they really have not looked like a championship team. They've got championship players. They have great players. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo is a great player. And they have the core and the nucleus of a team that won a championship, but they don't play like that. I mean, and the coach is just not the guy. We know that with Doc Rivers. So I think that would be an interesting series and one they could pull off. Could pull off that, but I'd rather avoid it altogether. And now we got to watch down the stretch of the season. How does Joel respond? How quickly could he get himself into the shape he wants to be? He called himself fat last night. I didn't think he looked overly puffy. I thought he looked a little bit less, you know, let's say conditioned than he is we're used to him being. And we should be used to him being very conditioned because he's a guy that was putting up, you know, 35, 36 points on the regular. I mean, that's the kind of season he was having. So we should expect that kind of stuff from Joel Embiid. Last night, he didn't have his legs late in the game. But I kind of was taken off guard over the weekend when we got the news he was close. The video came out of him practicing and, you know, contact practicing for real. And then it happened so fast. And now it's like, okay, back on the radar, here come the Philadelphia 76ers. And maybe, and I know I'm feeling more optimistic about the Sixers, but like, is Joe really feeling this? Yeah. I'm feeling more optimistic than normal because I'm not expecting much. And now they get to go in with a really good coach, a pedigreed coach, a championship coach. The addition of Lowry, who is added more than some people maybe thought he would. And now Joel, with that time off, coming back, hopefully healthy, and hopefully he could stay healthy. And that's the one thing with Joel and the Sixers, you never know. I mean, you just never know if that could happen, if he could do it for a long period of time. But is there a chance the Sixers play well and play meaningful basketball for the next month? There is. And the one part that I keep coming back to is you look at their point differential when Joel Embiid has played and their record when Joel Embiid has played. They played like an upper 50 wins team, close to a 60 win team for a good portion of the season with them. That means something. Usually teams that have that kind of record advance in the NBA playoffs. That's saying they always win titles, and I don't think the Sixers team's going to win a title. But they usually advance. They're usually not a team that whimpers out in the first round. If you have that kind of team, that kind of group that can win games at that clip, usually it means something. And I've gone from, you know, when Joel went down, I said it's over. I mean, the Sixers season is over. I you know, at that point, it was tough to believe the Sixers. In terms of his injury, you know, was this going to be the major surgery or the minor one? Obviously, they went with the minor one, which, you know, let's not forget the way that was framed by the doctors then and the reports were the minor surgery could give him a better chance to come back this year. In fact, the only chance to come back this year. But doing that, the clipping, I think the way they talk about the meniscus, it does give a higher chance down the line of arthritis and more knee issues potentially down the line. So they could have went with a different approach. A longer-term rehab, but it may have given him better chance at better knee health as his career and life moves on. They went the other way. I'm not a doctor. I just you know, kind of try to digest what they're telling us about these players. So, but I think that's notable that this could have gone the other way. Now, maybe it was just obvious when they went in there. This is what the right way to proceed was based on his particular knee at this particular time, or maybe this was a Sixers and Joel thing. Like, hey, let's not waste this. We got a shot. The East, really, outside of Boston, is topsy-turvy. I mean, you could take number 2 in the East through number 7 or 8 and mix them around. I mean, you probably want to keep Milwaukee in the top 4, but I think you can mix around those teams and their seeds. And if I told you before the season it would end up like that, you wouldn't have blinked an eye. Like, Knicks 3, Knicks 6, Pacers 4, Pacers 7, Heat 8, Heat 3. I mean, I don't think any of this would have surprised you. Magic 5, Magic 7, Magic 6. Like, they're all the same. None of these teams are particularly great. They're pretty good, but there's winnable series here. The only one, and that's why I want to avoid the play-in, because you go to the play-in, you have one bad night against Miami in a week and a half, and then you're forced to be the 8 seed. Like, that's the best you could do. I want to avoid Boston as long as possible. I want to give Joel the longest runway to get himself back in shape and let the team build some confidence. It's almost like, you know, if we use example of a team in baseball coming from the wild card round, would the Diamondbacks have beat the Phillies in the wild card round last year? Probably not. You know, and they almost faced them, and they and the Marlins had pretty similar records. One game separated those two teams. So just, you know, the seeding led to the Phillies getting the Marlins and the Diamondbacks getting the Brewers. Would the Diamondbacks have beat the Phillies in the first round? I don't think so. But they built to it. They built to it by getting through the Milwaukee Brewers. Then they beat the Dodgers, who had all these pitching issues. Then they came in, and they were confident in themselves and what they could do in a long series against the Phillies. I think something similar, if we want to play it out that way, could happen with the Sixers. You know, would they beat the Celtics in the first round? I almost give them zero chance to do it. Would they beat the Celtics in an Eastern Conference final? Probably not, but I give them a better chance there. Avoid the play-in. Big game Miami on Thursday night. Let's get some wins here. Obviously, Joel is working his way back into shape, but they beat Oklahoma City when I'm working his way back into shape. And for the first time in a very, very long time, the Sixers feel like the ultimate NBA wild card. They feel like a team that it's easy to write off, that I think we all probably thought about writing off very recently. And now you watch them, you're like, Joel's back. The knee should be good. He can work himself back into shape. Big-time coach. And a team that was playing at a very good clip with Joel Embiid on the court before he got hurt. Suddenly, with the Phils, with the NFL draft, with the Sixers, with what should be a dramatic ending to the Flyers season, we got a heck of an April on tap. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. We will talk very, very soon, as always, on the feed.